Okay. So I'm feeling very touched right now because it turns out that I was wanting to, review this text that I had started reviewing yesterday. And I just kind of had this idea of feeling like, oh, I'm just gonna overview this and that's just gonna be part of my checklist of the day, right? Like, I'm just gonna go in there and come out, right? But as I started, I just got this immense sense of like slowing down, almost like my life turned into this slow motion kind of experience. And it just felt so good, right? Like, I guess that's what happens when I'm trying to soak a little bit longer in the sacred and just take a little bit more time to find out what it is exactly that was for me from this moment, right? And I'm grateful that I went back to it because yesterday I was super touched, right? When I got the prompt to say, hey, check this verse out. And the verse that prompted it was, okay, so it's verse Alma 32, 35 from the Book of Mormon. It says, I say unto you, yea, because it is light, and whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore, you must know that it is good. And so I just kind of let that sit in my heart for, and germinate for a day, right? And so as I went back to it and I was kind of reading like the whole chapter, there's like 43 verses here. It was just so interesting the way that I was able to be touched by specifically the verses following that verse that I just read, from 35 to 43, because I just felt such an immense connection to what was being shared, right? The conversation that I was having with these friends was mostly on the topic of like, hey, how do you discern between what's from the world or what maybe the world might say, like peer pressure? How can you discern what's just peer pressure versus what's actually from Christ, right? What's actually from our eldest brother? Who, did all things before us so that we could follow in his footsteps and have that level of protection and strength from him, right? And it was just really interesting to just kind of sit with that for a little bit. And, like the topic at the time was really more on the context of like, hey, how do you know if something's from like light or darkness, basically, right? And now, as I've taken time to soak with that and these verses for a while, it's kind of become this progressive moment for me where it's like, no, it's not, I'm not just staying in this place of like, hey, how do I know if something is light or dark, right? And that is useful information, right? That's useful discernment and filtering for me so that I'm not letting, the wind come into my greenhouse and just destroy all my plants, right? How do I know if it's actually going to nourish the plant, right? But it even goes further in some of these verses to add to this analogy that I've developed in my mind, right? Where it's not so much, yes, it's about having those wind barriers, absolutely. And yes, it's about allowing for the light to actually get to the seeds and germinate them. But even almost even more so, the thing that I'm taking away from this right now is what about the soil, right? What about the soil that is under these seeds to make sure that these plants get nourishment? Yes, we need the light, absolutely, but we also need the soil to be prepared. So that that seed can have this foundation, can have this perpetual sustainability. Because what will happen that's described in these next verses is if there's nothing to hold that seed, to nourish it in its soil, the sun's just gonna come down and it's just gonna get scorched, right? And it was just super humbling for me to ponder on that for a little bit and be like, what? What? So it's not enough just to have this greenhouse structure. Wind is taken care of. Sun can come in. Boom, we got this plant growing, right? No, actually, there needs to be nourishment in the soil. There needs to be something there so that the roots can take place, so the roots can go deep, so that this plant can actually develop the root system needed to be able to hold the growth of the plant, right? It's one thing to germinate a seed and to have it started. It's a whole other process to make sure the seed actually stays alive, right? So it was just this interesting process for me to process, okay, so in the process of me, you know, gaining knowledge and getting it, that's one thing, to have an open heart, to want to receive the light and allow for my seeds to germinate. That's awesome. That's awesome faith. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But what I'm learning here is the difference between like having that just like moment of faith kind of way of allowing for the seed to come alive, right? Versus having this like nourishment, faith, diligence, patience, sustainability, soil system, right? To allow for the roots to go deep and to touch into diligence, right? To touch into these pockets of nutrients, of diligence, right? Where it's like, hey, I'm saying as like this person that wants to become, right? I'm saying, hey, I would love to develop a heavenly habit here, right? So then it's like, okay, well, if I want to develop a heavenly habit, then what am I going to be decluttering from my life that is of the world so that I can make space for a new heavenly habit, right? And then also like allowing for another root system to go down and touch on faith, right? And touch on this space of wanting to experiment and exercise and, you know, develop some kind of a goal to say, hey, I'm going to try this for like 2 weeks or whatever, right? And I want to see what I can notice in these 2 weeks of trying to see what God sees, right? And like thirsting after that righteousness, right? Thirsting after the light and really wanting to allow for that light to touch that seed and for those roots to come down, to be nurtured and that kind of thing. And the way that I see it right now is like diligence and faith is kind of in the category of breathing out. It's like exercising that faith, whereas patience is another aspect of what's being covered here. And it's like the breathing in. Right? It's the breathing in and taking in of this, the seed and the root system. And it's breathing in that compassion of being like, yeah, this is what it's going to look like. Sometimes we're going to receive seeds and sometimes our soil is going to be totally ready for it. Right? And we're going to be able to nurture it with some diligence, some faith, some patience, right? And other times, you know, a whole part of the process is that, yeah, sometimes we're going to get a seed and sometimes the sun's going to scorch it before we have made space in our hearts and our lives to be diligent with that seed, right? To be diligent with our faith, to allow for that seed to penetrate our lives and to allow for the blessings and the showering of that truth and that knowledge to become this beautiful aspect of allowing for us to just like feel that love of God even more. So I'm really feeling a lot of gratitude right now because I feel like I was coming into this ancient text today just to kind of review the concept on, hey, let's allow for the seed, the word and the love of God to be planted in our heart and let it expand, right? But then I'm so grateful because I feel like I'm coming away from this experience now with like a whole other level, right? Like yesterday I was in this space of like, okay, well, this is wonderful, right? This is so wonderful to have this concept of understanding how to allow for, you know, the seeds and the love of God to be planted in our hearts and to come alive and to germinate. That's beautiful. Like, awesome, right? And I had no idea that today I could even come to the point where I could see the bigger vision of, like, the longitude, the eternal kind of process, the eternal cycle of what this looks like, right? It's not just about, hey, let's make all of our seeds come alive and germinate, right? I know what that looks like as a gardener person. You know, it's one thing to be a beginner gardener, right? To just spray the seeds and let them sprout and feel so great about yourself and feel like you're an awesome gardener. And I think that's beautiful. That is a very important step to being a gardener, right? But there's something to be said about a gardener that has the capacity to do the next things, right? To make sure that the soil is prepared to allow for these seeds to not just be germinated, and that's just their whole purpose is just to be sprouts, but to then allow for these seeds to then take root in their root system, to then hold space for the full fruition of this plant to live to it the fullness of what it was meant to do. And I do believe that every plant, it wasn't just meant to be sprouted. It, like, in some ways that's almost slightly wasteful, right? It's like, hey, let's plant these seeds so that they can do its full fruition, right? It can grow to its fullness of its life and get to the point where it can bear its own seeds, and those seeds can be saved and then perpetuated, right? And so I'm in the process right now of just pondering about what could this possibly mean in the plant life cycle of the word and the love of God in my heart, not just in the germination coming alive aspect of expanding my heart, but how could this ripple in when I do allow for that root system to go down and allow for those seeds to come into its full plant fruition life, and what could that possibly mean to be multiplying and replenishing and allowing for that nourishment to actually take place. So that's something that I'm pondering on, that I'm really excited about. One thought that I had when I was pondering on the nourishment aspect was, what if, like, the nourishment season of this plant's life, like from the soil, had a lot to do with gratitude, right? With pondering, with sharing, with, you know, like going into the parable of the talents, right? Like, not just like burying our talents, but like multiplying them, right? And getting to the point where we're sharing, right? Like, so it's like, it's one thing to be touched and to allow for our seeds to germinate and come alive and to feel that personally, but to develop the soil enough for these seeds, these loving Word of God moments to not just touch our hearts, but then to allow for that soil to permeate and allow for other people's seeds to also be planted in our soil in some ways, right? Like in the soil that we've prepared in our lives, but then also like helping, you know, instead of having like this tiny like one pot plant, to like plant like this community garden in some ways, right? And to work on nourishing this soil that can be perpetuated for generations, right? That's kind of where I'm going with what I see in the potential of these verses, right? At the time when I first read this verse, of course, absolutely, I was all about the germination come alive, let's make these seeds grow kind of thing, right? That was me in my baby gardener phase as a 14-year-old coming across these words for the first time, right? It was all about me and my one tiny plant that I was planting, right? Now, as I've come into these verses from 35 to 43, it's just so fascinating to see how it's become more than that, right? It's more than just me and my tiny little seed and my tiny little plant that I'm keeping alive, right? It's more about like the expansiveness, right? Like when I get to practice and teach yoga, I just love emphasizing like when we're spreading our arms, that it's like our fingers and our arms are like wings expanding across the span of the universe, right? Like how we have this capacity to allow for our light to spread for like eons, right? Like just like it's just, it doesn't end. It's limitless and it's endless, right? But where did that come from, right? And just like allowing for that well of gratitude to continue to cultivate and develop, of like realizing that we have the capacity for our light to be limitless, but also realizing where we're receiving that light and having that deep gratitude there for it.